Well, there it is, the FedEx logo, but it's got something hiding in it. It has an arrow hiding in it. So if you haven't seen the arrow in the FedEx logo, you got to look at it there for a few minutes and see if you can catch it. I'll give you a moment or two. Maybe some of you are catching it now. Hiding between the E and the X there is an arrow pointing this way. It's one of those things where once you see it, it's hard to ever go back to not seeing it that way. So this is just an example of how we can be so familiar with something and yet still have something to learn from it, something to see. So we're going to look at the Great Commission, hopefully from a fresh perspective this morning. And if you'll join me, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray that He would open our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are here with us this morning. Thank You for Your Word, that it's truth, that we have the opportunity to learn from You. And so we come to You today asking that You would work in our lives, You'd open our eyes to see Your truth, give us ears to hear, help us to be obedient to Your Word too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start by opening to Matthew 28, and we're going to start in verse 16, Matthew 28, verse 16. I'm going to be reading from the New English Translation this morning. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Most of the time when we look at this passage, we tend to jump straight to verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We tend to leave the rest of it out. Let's back up a bit. The Great Commission is based on Jesus' authority and power. We need to recognize that reality. Verse 18, Jesus comes up to them and He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." This is the foundation that the Great Commission is built on. Jesus says, because I have all authority, because I have all power, I'm telling you to go. Perhaps Jesus is saying this some for the benefit of those that doubted. And maybe you identify with those. We have those that were worshiping. It says some doubted. They're still struggling to process what happened. Maybe things didn't go quite as they understood, and they're trying to still grasp the reality of a risen Savior. And Jesus is reminding them, I have all authority and power, and I'm giving this command. It inspires our worship. He is the only one with all authority and power. He has the power to judge. He has the power to restore our relationship with God the Father. He has the power to forgive our sin. So we worship Him, and we invite others to worship Him. His authority and power also inform us about this command. It's something that we're supposed to obey. If you have a job, I praise the Lord if you do. Many of you maybe know the difference between sitting next to a colleague and your colleague asking you to do something versus your boss asking you to do something. Your boss asks you to do something, you do it. Why? Well, he's your employer and he has the authority to give you a raise. He has the power to fire you. And so we do what we're asked to do in the workplace. Well, here Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He can't get any higher than that. And so it's based on this that He's giving a command, and it's a command that we're to obey. It also gives us confidence to carry out the command that He's given. If Jesus didn't have all authority and power, the command would be misguided. We'd be inviting people to worship, to become followers of one who was a false god if he didn't have all authority and power. And so it's the basis of our witness. For those of you that work in sales, I'm not necessarily comparing this to taking the gospel as a sales job, but there is an element of confidence that you have when you know that the product that you're selling is going to do what it says it's going to do, that it's going to meet the customer's expectations. There's something about a product that doesn't meet the expectations that makes it a little bit hard. There's something inside you that you feel hard from bad about promoting something that doesn't do what it says it's going to do. And so Jesus reminds us that we can share with confidence. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. He has the power and authority to do that. So the Great Commission is based on Jesus' authority and power. So we've looked at the basis for the Great Commission. Now we're going to move to looking at the content of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission includes both evangelism and growth. The three parts to the command, it says go. And then we see that we're to be making disciples, we're to be baptizing, and we're to be teaching, training in obedience. So this first part, making disciples, it's the part that we're the most familiar with. It's the part that we tend to compartmentalize this verse down to, especially if we're talking about it in the context of a missions conference. We tend to say, go make disciples of all nations. It's more, the Great Commission is more than proclamation. Certainly a key part of the Great Commission, though. And so we are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The idea here of making disciples isn't just a data dump. We're not sharing information that people are to memorize, to know something very well. We're inviting people to be followers of Christ, to become pupils. It's information that results in belief. It's teaching that results in belief. We're proclaiming the good news. We're inviting people to follow Christ as we have followed Christ. And so they're becoming disciples. In fact, this idea, I think we're uncomfortable. We don't use the word disciple that much today in our language. So maybe you're more comfortable saying I'm a follower of Christ. But or you say I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. You don't, some of those words you don't really see pop up in the New Testament. Basically, if you're a believer, you're a disciple. So you are a follower of Christ if you have placed your faith in Jesus. And that's what we're inviting people to do. The second part of the Great Commission, this command, is to baptize. So as people come to faith in Christ, as they believe in the saving work of Jesus on the cross, dying for our sins, we invite people to identify with Christ, to declare the change in their life. They've died to their flesh, and they've become alive in the Spirit. And so we invite them to identify with the body of Christ in this way, and we are to baptize those who hear the message and believe. So the second thing is baptism. The third aspect of the go is training, teaching in obedience. We are to train believers to obedience. I think as a parent, I think of that maybe as in the context of something I do with my kids. It's really odd to think of that in the context of the church. And yet that's what it says here, is we're to teach, we're commanded to obey, to teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Do our Bible studies, our quiet times, our fellowship with other believers spur us and others on to obedience? I think it's easy for us to have ministries and activities that lose focus. We've been doing them for so long, it's become a cultural thing. It's part of our body that we just do. We teach Sunday school, we come Sunday morning service, we have a Bible study, and we forget why we're doing those things. The point of why we're doing, the purpose of why we're doing those things is to encourage one another to live godly lives, to be growing in obedience. There's a purpose behind it. Now, one of the things, if you're like me, I read this and the first thing I think is, okay, so I'm supposed to be teaching about obeying the commands that Christ has given. I guess it would be pretty important to know what Christ's commands are. And yet, I don't know if I've ever done a Bible study on Christ's commands. And so here we are commanded to give, to train people in obedience to everything that Christ has commanded. And I would challenge you and encourage you, as I'm challenging myself, to take the time to read the Word, to read through some Gospels and see how Jesus lives. We're following Him. I think it can be easy to think of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and you say, okay, well, He's teaching these things and the whole point of that was to illustrate that we can't do it on our own. So He gives a commandment and then He says, but I tell you, and His way is even higher than that. And yes, that's true. The point of the law and the point of what Christ was doing was showing His way, which is so much higher than our way. And we tend to compare ourselves one to another instead of to the standard that Jesus Christ set. And that's what we're asked to do. Now, this is not about salvation. This is not works here that we're talking about. Remember, back at the beginning, people are coming to faith in Christ. As we disciple them, we're telling them about the salvation they have in Jesus Christ. Obedience to these commands is part of how we live out our faith. And in fact, it's how we express our love to God. Multiple times in Scripture it says that if we claim to know Christ, we will obey His commands. This is part of how we live. We're to be trained in obedience. Are you training yourself in obedience? Are you training those you have influence with in obedience? Praise God, He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. And if you're looking for a passage to memorize, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. In fact, you could just keep going in 1 Peter if you want to memorize a whole book there. But it says that He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And He talks about how we add to our faith knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, unselfishness, that these things keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in the faith. So we teach obedience, and Christ's power is promised even in that process of obeying. All right, the Great Commission has both a local and a global focus. Verse 19, the place where we tend to start. Let's go back there. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. So all nations is all nations. It's not a nation that's excluded. We need to make disciples in Siloam Springs, in Benton County, in Arkansas, in the United States, North America, on out to the globe. But a word of caution here, we need to be careful not to think of this as something that's incremental. It's not something where we start here in Siloam Springs, and as we've made enough disciples here, or as many as we think we can make, we're going to go on and expand out. Maybe we'll start sending a team down to Taney Town and go on out from there. That's not the point here. We are to be reaching the nations locally and globally simultaneously. Now, I'm going to use an illustration here of a weed, which it's not exciting to use weeds as illustrations, but it does a good job of illustrating. Dandelions, you've all got them in your yard. Who has dandelions in their yard? Okay. Most of us have dandelions in our yard. If you don't, then I'd like to get some tips on how to work the yard in a way that gets those to go away. Well, they pop up and they go to seed, and what happens? The wind takes these And pretty soon you know that seed's going to be carried to other parts of your yard, some right nearby. And sometimes if you let a dandelion go too long, there'll just be a whole bunch of them right there. Then it's really hard to get rid of them. But the wind will take some to your neighbor's yard, and they'll be very thankful for that. Maybe even take it down a couple yards. And if you're like me, you have kids who help with this process of sending dandelion seeds everywhere. The church is to spread everywhere, locally, globally, all at the same time. We have 280,000 Kirghali in Afghanistan who are completely unreached. They're also completely unengaged. There is nobody that we know of that is purposefully taking or planning on taking the gospel to the Kirghali of Afghanistan, 280,000. There's 14,000 unreached and unengaged in Malaysia. They're called the Hui, similar to the same number of people we have here in Siloam Springs, 15,000. Both the Hui and people here in Siloam Springs need to be reached with the gospel message. Now, you say, but wait a second, there's a difference here, and there is. The Hui have no access to the gospel right now. There is nobody taking the gospel to them. And so as we consider the Great Commission, we do need to give consideration, and not just consider, but plan, make plans on how we are going to take the gospel to those who have no access to the gospel. But we also don't neglect locally. There are people here in Siloam Springs that need to hear the saving grace of Jesus Christ and are just as much in danger of the flames of hell as the Hui. In fact, that's, I think, part of why we maybe fail in our witness locally, is we become very accustomed to the day-in, day-out routines, and some of the things that we say we believe, for the most part, we don't really live like they're true. Do you believe that life without Christ, that without Christ, people are perishing? Do you believe in a literal hell? I do, but I don't live that way all the time, because if I did, I'd be more intentional about forming a relationship with my neighbor across the street so I have the opportunity to share the gospel. I'd be more intentional about taking the time to form a relationship that would allow me to share the gospel with maybe the person who cuts my hair. I just think of those as daily routines and let them go without taking opportunity to share the message that we have. The other thing is, we've got a team we've just sent down to the DR, and I think it's really easy. Again, this we just take this passage and we tend to hone in on the global that we forget about the local. And so we have a team that's going to the DR, and they've done some preparation. There's a skit team, there's a puppet team. Some people have actually prepared their testimonies to share, and they're planning on doing ministry in the evenings in addition to encouraging the body of believers there that they're ministering to. And so we send them off to do puppets and skits and outreach into the DR, and some will share their testimony for the first time, and that's sad that we haven't given opportunity here for people to share testimonies, that we haven't taken the time to plan and prepare and do outreach here in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. We wait for the opportunity to do it globally. The Great Commission has both a local and global focus. The Great Commission is a command that applies to all believers. So Jesus speaks to, it says here at the beginning in verse 16, so the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated. So there's 11 disciples. There could have been more. A lot of times it mentions the 11 disciples and there's another crowd with them. So we don't know exactly how many are there. But the question is this just a command for those disciples? And maybe you think, well, disciples, apostles, preachers, pastors, missionaries, we tend to start to think of it's not just for the disciples and we think it's just for the pastors. or missionaries, some trained professionals, seminary trained professionals to be involved in. This surely isn't something I'm supposed to be involved in. It's pretty convenient to think that way, but it's wrong. You are a disciple of Christ if you believe and follow Christ's teaching. And so this is a command for you if you look at it. In fact, I've got the notes slightly wrong on another point. We'll come back to that. But if you look at it, this command, verse 20, has reproduction built in. So he's commanding the disciples, go into all nations. We're going to make disciples. We're going to baptize them. We're going to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, if you didn't notice, we're in the middle of a command. So here we are. The disciples are being commanded to teach others to obey Christ's commands, of which this is one of his commands. And so, all of us, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you believe in him and strive to live as Jesus did, this is one of the commands that we are to obey, is to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing and training others in obedience. Now, one of the traps we fall into, in addition to trying to exclude ourselves, is we say, okay, well, if everybody's supposed to do it, that means everybody's a missionary. And that's not quite what I'm saying either. I think that when we use the term missionary that loosely, we've watered it down to where it's a meaningless term. Everybody is a follower of Christ, and everybody is to be engaged in the Great Commission. And yet, a missionary is one who carries out the Great Commission cross-culturally. Now, I'm sure there's others who would define it differently, but the point of a missionary is taking the gospel to somebody of a different culture than you. It's crossing that cultural boundary. And so the question isn't so much, are you to be involved in the Great Commission? That's really not even a question at all. You're a believer, you're a follower of Christ, and so you are to be engaged in the Great Commission. The question is whether you will participate in that locally, or whether you will participate in that cross-culturally in a global context. And things are evolving some to where that's even getting more blurred. How many of you in your workplace have somebody from another culture, either in your workplace or that you work with as a colleague somewhere across the ocean or have video conference with? How many of you have someone from another culture that you work with? And if you're a student, students from all over the world are coming here. Many of you have had international students in your homes. And so the opportunity to minister cross-culturally is even coming to us. But we're to be engaged in the Great Commission in both ways. And we have some in our congregation that even go all around the world. Their job takes them all over the place, and they have opportunity to be a witness for Christ as they go. The other thing to keep in mind here, at SSBC, we're a strong missions-sending church. I think that we are. I think it's a unique thing that God's allowed us to be a part of. And certainly we heard from Jim Pearson, a number of those that are going out this summer that are in process of going, others that are already on the field. So how does the Great Commission, how does this making disciples apply to us? Again, when we're thinking of this global focus, one thing that we need to keep in mind is that making disciples locally is the training ground for those that we intend to send out globally. So what is it, these that are going globally to the nations that have the opportunity to cross cultures, are we expecting them to somehow become disciple makers once they arrive on the field? Are we expecting them to be good at training others to obey the commands of Christ when they reach their destination? I think that might be a little bit of a misplaced expectation. We should be doing it locally as a training ground for those we intend to send. So if we're wanting to be a strong mission-sending church, we should also be a strong disciple-making church so that those that we send are equipped for the task which they are going to do. There's nothing magical about that airplane trip. All right, let's move to point number 5. The Great Commission isn't complete unless reproduction is occurring. I think I had the Great Commission has reproduction built in, and it does. But it's certainly the component that oftentimes I think we fail to key in on. And so we can think that we're being obedient to the Great Commission, and yet none have reproduced. We haven't reproduced spiritually in the sense that we've taught others to obey this command. And so if we're trying to make disciples and training them to follow Christ's commands, let's not forget to train them to obey this command itself. And so we're to see people as we train them, as we have Bible studies, Sunday school lessons, sermons, as we interact one-on-one, are we training people to reproduce spiritually? We haven't obeyed the Great Commission fully if reproduction isn't occurring. The Great Commission occurs both outside and inside the walls of the church. Now, I know that the church is not defined by walls, but in this sense, we tend as human beings to think of walls, and that's maybe part of the problem that we struggle with. But there's a lot that happens here in this building. We come here on Sunday mornings. As a percentage of our time, it's very small. And so if we think the Great Commission is going to occur here in this building, it's not exclusive. There's certainly it does. We come together to worship the Lord. We come together to encourage one another. And as we read, to teach each other and encourage one another to be obedient to Christ's commands. So even the sermon series that Bruce has been doing on prayer, one of the commands that we have is to pray continually. Jesus also, in the middle of, as he's getting ready to go to the cross, encourages his disciples to watch and pray. And so Pastor Bruce has been encouraging us and helping us to grow in obedience to the command to pray. Maybe you haven't thought of it that way. But so here in the church, we're teaching that in our Sunday school classes, children's church. But certainly there's more to the Great Commission and where this takes place than just inside the walls of the church. It's outside the building as well. Is it part of our family? Is it part of our parenting? Our work when we go to the store? Is it part of our little league and our swim team? God has put you in places where you rub shoulders with people. Are you being intentional about sharing the truth of the gospel with them, looking for opportunities to help them identify with the body of Christ, looking for opportunities to train them in obedience, to encourage them on everywhere we go? The Great Commission carries with it a promise. Now, with Jesus, the thing about his promises are they're as good as gold. You can bank on them. So if you want to call it a fact, that's okay. You can call it a fact. He's going to do this. But let's read verse 20 again. And he says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now let's stop for a second and think about that. If you connect that back to verse 18, who is it that's saying he's with you? It's the one who says to us, I have all power and authority. So Jesus promises to be with us in carrying this out. I remember 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, his divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. In the Sunday School Times, an author wrote a story that I think it's fitting to share here. He shares that he was visiting with a postman, and the postman was telling him about the sense of security he feels in his work of delivering the mail. So he shares, all the resources of the government are pledged to support me in carrying on my work. If I have only one small postcard in my bag, no man dares to interfere with me in its delivery. All the federal police powers of the United States would be thrown into action if necessary to secure the safe delivery of that postcard. So it led the author to think how confidently you and I may set forth with our life, our personality, our gifts, to deliver the flaming truth of the gospel. The word of the Lord is just as much for us today as it was for the disciples when he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." For those of you that are familiar with David Livingstone, he spent 30 years of his life in unwearied effort to evangelize the native races, to explore undiscovered secrets, and to abolish the slave trade. He was speaking to university students at the University of Glasgow. And he said, "Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this: lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On these words I've staked everything, and they never failed." So to review, the Great Commission is based on Jesus' authority and power. The Great Commission includes both evangelism and growth. The Great Commission has both a local and global focus. It's a command for all believers. It has reproduction built in. It's not complete unless we're reproducing spiritually. The Great Commission occurs both inside and outside the walls of the church. And the Great Commission carries with it a promise. Let me close by challenging you this morning to evaluate your activities, the ministries you're involved in, the programs at our church, ministry leaders, Sunday school teachers, grandparents, parents, employers. How do these things tie into the Great Commission? How do they tie into this command to make disciples, to train people in obedience to Christ's commands? There are so many opportunities before us, and in many of the opportunities that we're engaged in, we just fail to remember that that's what we're doing. Something else to sign up for. I'm going to give a plug here for some of our ministries at the church. Children's Church is a good example of an opportunity that we have to train up people in this body in obedience to the commands of Christ. I thank those of you that are doing that. It's not only does it bless our children and help them to grow in their faith. Many have already placed their faith in Christ. But it's also a ministry to the parents as we free them up to partake of the word of the Lord here and to be encouraged in their own obedience to Christ. And so it carries with it a double blessing as you get to invest in the lives of those kids and carry out the Great Commission. So thank you, and we do have a need there. If others would like to take opportunity to do that with our youngest kids, there's opportunity to mentor young couples, young professionals in our body. There's many students who will be coming back from JBU. Maybe you're sitting there wondering, "I don't have anything to teach. I don't have anything to share." If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've placed your faith in Him, you have something to share, even if it's just that simple message. But many of you have years of experience of learning to walk in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and to obey His commands. And us younger ones would benefit greatly from having you teach us and encourage us. And so there's opportunity. There's opportunity all over the place. I'm not asking, and I don't want to put a burden on anybody. This is certainly not intended to be that way. To add new programs, to add new activities, I know your life is busy. But maybe there's some things either to cut back on, or in a lot of cases, it's just a small adjustment from going from doing the things that we've been doing every day to including the Great Commission in it. And so we need to take a look and reevaluate. And I think even as a body, we do that. One of the meetings that I missed, the elders spent some time. You see, it's in our mission statement and our vision statement is this idea of making disciples. And so it's certainly something we want to be a part of our church. And so we take from time to time the opportunity to evaluate our programs and our ministries and see how it's tying in and how we encourage one another to make disciples. And that's what we want to do. I encourage you to do that individually as well, to examine that. But it, as I said, it doesn't have to be a burden. This can be a very exciting thing. In fact, it is for me. When I do this, the reason it's exciting is because it goes back, it takes those things that we've been doing, and it reminds us of the purpose for why we do them. It gives us the foundation again, and that can reinfuse us with energy for it as Christ brings his power and authority into that, and as we rest in that in carrying out these activities. So I'll leave you again with Jesus' words. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age."